Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh.
Bounce with it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let it bump. It's a hard knock life. Uh-huh. For us. It's a hard knock life. For us. Steady treated. We get kicked. Steady kisses. We get kicked. It's a hard knock life.
Welcome back, folks, to MAST Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Lou Air Student Radio. We are going to open up the coverage of the national coverage for the first final hour of the program today. If any of you want to join in the conversation, call the show at 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332.
All right, like you said, it's time for Tough Deals of the Week. I'm back. I got my microphone fixed. We wish you guys could have seen what happened because literally this microphone fell apart.
This is why we need a live feed in here.
We'll work on that.
I stand by that.
We can work on it.
Christian's mic falls. Drew's studying for his midterm. Yep. And I'm trying to read the script. It's just epic.
It's epic. And guess what? And if you guys didn't know that, you would have thought this thing went off without a hitch. Because Kellen put the team on his back and carried us in the end zone.
It needed to happen. Man. It needed to happen, man. That was a tough deal in and of itself.
That was it.
I wasn't even around.
Guys,
for the
I felt
last
like
second.
Von Miller.
So whose tough deal is it?
So Drew, you know, it's one of those things where I wish I could go back to back and do my two tough deals of the week because I have another one coming up. I'm not going to quite give it away yet, but I got to be a team player, and it is your turn. So Drew, tell us about your tough deal of the week.
Okay, so my tough deal of the week is something that's coming up. You know, March Madness looming.
It is.
NBA draft right around the corner.
Right.
Okay. So my tough deal is the one and dones, the theory of the one and dones. And I'll open this up. And I'll open this up to you two here. What do you guys think about the one and dones? I'm interested to hear your guys' take. And I'll come in after you guys. But
yeah.
The one and dones go in the NBA.
Well, I kind of jump back and forth between the subject. You know, personally, I think about it this way: if someone is going to offer me a job to be a radio host or a sports information director or something a year into my college experience and pay me really, really good money to go do that job.
Yep.
I'm probably going to take it. Right. I mean, that's just the way that I look at like,
correct.
They're going to pay me to do it. I don't have to do 3 more years of schooling or I don't have to prepare anymore. They feel that I'm qualified and ready for the job. They're going to give me a nice hefty paycheck. I'm going to take it.
Correct.
And that's the position that those players are in. And that's probably how they look at it. Kellen, how about you?
Well, I mean, to ask you another quick question, Christian, what if that crashes and burns? What if your mics drop? What if your mic falls off the mic again? And what if the radio thing just doesn't go very well? And now you say, well, do I go back to college? I mean, what would happen if that? I mean, I'm just asking you a question just to see what you would say
about
that.
Yeah, I think you would have to end up being in that situation. But the pay scale is so much different. I mean, your top 5 NBA draft pick is getting $15 million over the next 3 years, right?
It's tough because we're not quite in their shoes. Obviously, they wear a size 16, but you know, it's one of those things where we just have to understand. We got to try to put ourselves in that situation. Turning down that kind of money would be very tough. To answer your question, Drew, I think it's hurting college basketball. And the reason I say
that is, was going to be my next question. Do you think it's hurting the sport?
I really think it is. I mean, college basketball is, I hate to use this word because it's one of those words I try not to say too much, but it's becoming boring. And I think, in my opinion, again, humble opinion, I would say that college basketball players need to spend at least 2 years in the program.
Yes.
Because, you know, you look at I like how they do it in football. Is it a 2-year deal?
Yes.
You gotta be 2 years before you go to the draft. Because number one, you know, is it Ben Simmons is his name?
Yes.
For LSU?
For LSU.
I mean,
this is a big topic right now, Simmons.
Right. He's going to be one and done. He's probably going to go to the Lakers, hopefully, or the 76ers.
He has to go. Do you know he has to go?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Okay, unless he wants to be ineligible, because he's not. He's on that freshman forgiveness deal.
Yeah, I know he was skipping classes.
He's not academic. I knew that. They suspended him for a while because he wasn't living up to his academic end of the bargain.
Jeez.
So
he's not taking it seriously.
Right.
So why go to college at all? Right, right.
Well, you could showcase yourself. He's using it as a way to showcase
that's a good
himself.
Point. That's a good point.
Right?
So why did he pick to go to LSU?
Who else is at LSU that's playing basketball right now?
Exactly. But
why.
But why wouldn't you go to a big time? Why wouldn't you go to a top program?
If you're going to go sell yourself, why not go to a place where you know you're going to be the man?
That's true. That's a good point.
But he doesn't play like the man, though.
Are you sure?
A lot. He doesn't shoot the ball.
Well, he's a freshman. You got to remember that.
That's the thing. His game. The reason here's my take on it is they don't let their games develop. Okay, so that hurts college basketball, right? Because they don't stay there forever. Back in the day, you had to play Michael Jordan for 3 years. Mm-hmm. He was there as a freshman, he was there as a sophomore, and he was there as a junior. Not to mention, he had James Worthy there, who was a senior his junior year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You had guys like Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, who was there for a freshman year, a sophomore year, a junior year.
Well, can you imagine if the Kentucky team stayed together?
Could you imagine? That's what I'm about to say. Could you imagine if John Wall was in his senior year, if DeMarcus Cousins was in his senior year with Collie Stein and the Harrison twins?
Imagine how much more exciting college basketball would be.
Oh yeah, and then you take guys. And then not only do I think it hurts college basketball, that it hurts the brand of college basketball because guys aren't staying longer. I think it hurts NBA basketball. Because you have all these draft picks being wasted on guys who aren't going to be ready for 2 years.
Right. They're not developed.
They're not developed. Look, Exhibit A, Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anthony Davis was one and done, correct? Out of where? Anybody?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. The one
I was
going to
say
done,
Whitworth.
No, the one and done capital of NCAA basketball, Kentucky. Okay. Goes in the NBA. Who remembers his name being mentioned before the last 2 years?
That's such a good point. So he didn't peak until...
It's the potential talk.
He didn't peak until he was 21, 22 years old, and he grew into his body and got... And now he's one of the premier...
And he grew into his unibrow.
He's one of the premier post players in the league.
Yeah.
If not top five, if not top three.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. And what's interesting, and this is kind of not necessarily going off topic per se, but we didn't really hear anything about Anthony Davis this year until he had 59 points because the NBA is all about the three ball now, which is so crazy.
The game has changed. The big man has become irrelevant.
Right.
And
that'll
probably be my tough deal next time I get to go, probably be the invisible big man now. It doesn't even matter. You can play five small.
Well, and it's funny because you look at guys like J.J. Redick, Adam Morrison, those guys that were so good in college.
They were four years guys. Jimmer Fredette, 4 year guy.
Jimmer Fredette, yep.
Aaron Kraft, 4 year guy.
Yep.
Okay, hold on.
We're not going to see any of those guys anymore because they don't stay for 4 years.
Nope.
Half those guys. Adam Morrison. What is Adam Morrison doing right now?
Tyler Hansbrough.
What are they doing?
That's fair.
Right now?
Well,
all those guys that stay 4 years.
Well, JJ Redick.
It sounds like Tim Tebow. He's great in college. Where's he now?
Making millions and millions of dollars as a broadcaster and preaching.
So not playing football.
Yeah.
It was great in college, not in football.
Yeah.
All those guys.
What I'm saying though, Christian, is it makes college basketball exciting when those guys stay. I'm not saying they'll be good in the NBA.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What did Jabari Parker do?
One and done, then got hurt.
Because why? Body wasn't developed yet.
If that's the angle you want to go with,
he got hurt. Okay.
All right.
I'm just talking about college basketball
exciting though. What did Anthony Davis do his first 2 years in the league?
You tell me. You're a bigger basketball guy.
Exactly. Nothing.
Nothing. All right.
Nothing. It took him a couple years. Andrew Wiggins, premier athlete.
The only guy that I would say had an impact his first year out of high school, you know, you look at LeBron, Kobe, Kevin Garnett.
Tracy McGrady went on ESPN and said players should not be allowed to skip college, period.
Good. That's
Garnett,
good.
Kobe, and myself, he said, I would have, I think about it now, I would have loved to play college ball.
Right. And Kobe would have gone to Duke.
He said, but here's the thing. This is the real tough deal. Because my tough deal about one and done is just a symptom of a larger problem. The larger problem is the NCAA's refusal to pay college athletes.
Mm.
The refusal to pay college athletes forces them to respond just how Christian responded when I asked him. Christian, I said, why wouldn't you go? Or why would you go?
I need the paycheck. However, in a way, if you're getting a full ride deal, which should include housing and meal plan and all
correct.
That stuff, aren't you getting paid for what you're doing?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Give it.
Here's my argument to that.
Drew's standing up, folks.
Okay, yeah, I was saying, I talk with my hands. I'm Italian. I'm loud. Come on now. So here's my thing, is that, yes, pays for room, board, food, and books. Okay? So let's say to go to Kansas. Okay, we'll talk about Kansas. Number one team. Bill Self's AP coach of the year.
Right.
Okay? Probably have the best chance of winning the tournament right now is Kansas. Probably have the highest odds. Either them or Xavier. They're the two teams I'm taking right now. Just spoiler to my bracket.
All right, we'll talk. Oh, you're gonna be gone next week. You can call in next week. We'll talk brackets.
Yeah, we'll talk brackets. I'll call in.
You'll probably be at Sherry's and you'll call in.
No, we're gonna be. That was funny. We were at Applebee's. No, so here. Now you made me lose my train of thought. Okay.
All right, we're going to Kansas.
So we're going to Kansas. Okay. Say it's $40,000 a year out of state. Okay. So that's all in room, board, meal card, everything. Let's call it $40,000. Multiply that by four. What do you get?
160,000.
Yeah, 160,000.
Hey, guys, that's a big. Can I get some credit for that?
That's student athlete.
That was big time, right there. Mom, if you're listening, I hope you're proud.
That's student athlete math right there. 160,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
How much do you think the KU pulls in one basketball game?
Tell us true.
Net profit.
Tell us true.
Probably in ticket sales, probably 50 grand.
Sure.
Okay. How many home games do they play?
I get about
16.
And that's just in ticket sales. Let's not even talk about concessions.
Right.
Let's not even talk about any of that stuff. Okay.
What, do they play 16 games, would you say?
16 games at home. Okay. 50 times 16.
I mean,
exactly. Okay.
Now let's
go merchandise. Okay. That they sell everywhere, Kansas basketball.
But they don't sell actual players' jerseys with their names
anymore.
On the back. They did.
Anymore.
Okay, they used to.
They did. They still use the numbers, though.
And that's why NCAA basketball on the Xbox and GameCube and stuff like that?
He just referenced
GameCube.
Kellen Westring has hereby dated himself as the oldest guy in the room.
Super Smash Bros. Come on now.
But do you see what I'm saying?
But is that why that is no longer a game?
Yes, the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit.
Okay,
was
gotcha.
What, because Ed O'Bannon woke up one day, turned on a video game, and his likeness and his player and his name and everything was in a college video game that he wasn't getting paid for.
Wow.
Okay, so this is my thing.
Well, that proves your point, too.
You're refusing to pay the athletes for anything. My favorite story is Arian Foster. Arian Foster, when he was at Tennessee, okay, he played a huge game, like couple 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, things like that. Went home with his roommates who were also football players. Okay. Opened the fridge to eat dinner after the game. They didn't have any food. So they went back to the facility to talk to their coach. Okay. Their coach says, all right, he said, coach, we need to figure this out because, you know, we can't eat. And if we can't eat, we're going to have to go do something stupid in order to get food. They have to break rules.
Mm-hmm.
And his coach said, all right. So his coach drove to Taco Bell or Jack in the Box or whatever and bought him like 100 tacos. And them and like Arian Foster and his four roommates and the coach sat down and the team roommate tacos. Guess what?
That's always good to eat as a college athlete.
Guess
right?
what? Guess right. what? NCAA violation. It is. They couldn't pay for food and it's illegal for the coach to go out and buy them food. Furthermore, the next day, Arian Foster's walking to practice through the parking lot. Guess what his coach pulls up in? Brand spanking new Lexus. Because that's fair, right? Because it's fair for Nick Saban to make millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars a year coaching in Alabama, and the players get squat. Because that's fair, right? I'm not saying Nick Saban does not work hard.
Right.
I'm not saying Nick Saban is not the best coach in college football. He is.
Do you think the reason why college athletes aren't paid, and I can ask both of you guys this, is because they believe that they are going to be earning millions and millions of dollars in the future.
But not all of them are.
That's a good point.
That's my thing, is that there are full-time. It'd be crazy for me to say, okay, you're going to be a tutor, or you're going to be the student body president, or you're going to be this, this, and this, or you're going to be a something on campus. You're going to have an on-campus job, and we're not going to pay you because you're an amateur, because you're training for this job to go out into the world to do. You would laugh. If they said, Christian, we're not going to pay you for broadcasting baseball because you're an amateur. No, we're getting paid for the same hours that they're there because we're on a microphone, but they're playing. That's not fair.
But we're amateurs just like them, right?
This isn't professional radio.
I get caught up in the fact that they're there for free. I'd love to be here for free right now, man. Absolutely would. Isn't that a payment enough?
They're at the Division I level, they're there for free. Correct. Those guys who are on scholarship, but there's walk-ons. But then you go down to these guys who are at the Division III level who put in the same amount of time for an eighth of the stuff. So it gets harder the deeper you go down.
Absolutely.
But think about all the gear you get. I mean, there's a lot of things that this money kind of equals out into, and it's one of those things where they're not going to have, you know, financial aid problems in the future. They're not going to have, you know, I got to pay off this, you know, student loans per se. But like you said, walk-ons, those are different.
Can I ask you a question, Kellen?
Absolutely.
What time do you wake up for football season?
What do you mean?
What time you wake up in the morning and go to morning workouts?
6:30.
Okay. When do you go to class? Like 8? So class all day from what?
9:15.
9:15 to what? 3:30. Let's just call class all day, right? Then you go to practice, which is what? 3:30 to 7?
I have to pay. My dad doesn't like to talk.
Okay. Love you, man. So 3.5 hour practice, right?
Right.
And football.
Then training room.
So then you got to spend 20, 30 minutes getting treatment, okay?
Right.
So now it's 8 o'clock at night. Then you go home and shower and eat. Now it's 9 o'clock at night. Now you're doing homework till midnight, OK? Okay, you have technically two full-time jobs.
Repeat.
You spend 6 to 8 hours playing football. You spend the rest of it doing schoolwork. And the rest of it is just to keep your body healthy so you can keep playing football. Okay? Why aren't you getting paid for your one of your full-time jobs?
I mean, it's a great point. No, I mean, I'm on the fence about it, you know?
If they can't get paid for playing, and I hate to say this, Christian and I shouldn't get paid for broadcasting because technically we're amateurs too, right?
Yeah, we're still learning how to do
it. So if you're going to say it's under the code of amateurism, that's a load of baloney because that can't be true at all because you're paying students on campus for jobs that they are amateurs in terms of training.
So you think every division, Division 1, Division 2,
Division
3,
Division 1,
AA should be paid?
Should be paying.
Should it be different? Sure. Percentages.
Yeah, yeah. What's the wage? What is the wage of being?
So different percentages, and the percentages should based on like gross profit, gross income. Alabama guys should be getting paid.
But then you got to look at, okay, do I pay the quarterback more than the first string punter?
Not that way.
Not that way. Based on what the football team is bringing in, that profit that they're bringing in, some of that goes to them. They should be stipend. I'm not saying they should be salary. Not saying they should pay on the hour. They should be stipend more than just for food.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because food is something that we need as athletes. Okay? We should be stipend for at least the 6 hours, 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours we spend in the gym every day.
Now, here's the – most Division I schools, they make all of the money they need for their athletic programs throughout the year through their football program, right?
Through just their football program.
Right. They do. So
no offense, they don't make it through rowing or sports like
no
that.
Right, no offense at all. That's where the money is. College football is as big a deal in this country as anything else.
And
right?
especially when they have a stadium on campus.
Correct.
Right. They're making money, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now, Drew,
okay,
should we be giving Kellen Westring more money for his part in being on a football team than we should give you for being on the men's basketball team?
No.
Heck of a question.
No.
Why not?
Because
they're bringing in more money. If that's the argument you want to make, he's bringing in more money than you are.
Yeah,
so why are you getting paid the same?
Emo.
Oh, every man a loot.
Every man a loot.
No, my goodness.
We're all part of. I'll pull the PLU football card on the PLU football player from the man's grandfather's mouth from mine to Kellen's ears. We're an athletic program. Lori Turner preaches that all the time.
Right.
Okay. But what the program should put in, I'm talking about, like, let's go back to Division I. Okay. Everything that goes in, like, the athletes should be compensated for their time. For the time they put in, everyone's got budgets, right? Everyone, right. every you
and
know,
every budget's different.
And every budget's different. We
because
have
hey, let's think about it, Drew. You guys don't have to pay for your player packages, correct?
No,
we do.
You guys
football.
Do. So you right. guys have to pay for your own gear,
right?
See, sports information, like they have a student worker budget, okay? Right? That they get to pay us X amount of dollars they have to spend on student workers,
right?
Why don't sports teams have it? Why can't you pay your players? I don't understand. It violates the code of amateurism. I guarantee you kids stay. Guarantee you. Because don't tell me that they're going to buy their moms a house and do everything. Because let me tell you this right now.
Well, Reggie Bush.
Every Division I school cheats to recruit.
That's right. Fair.
Everyone cheats.
Even Division III teams. So, I'm not going to call them out, but they do.
So don't tell me. Don't stand here and tell me, oh, it's to buy my mom a house. Oh, I need to support this. Oh, I need to support that. If you are a blue chip college athlete at Division I level and you're going to go make that big money in the NBA, NFL, whatever, MLB, you are going to get taken care of in that way when you're in college. I'm sorry. That's the truth. That's how things go. Every Division I program cheats. Okay? They have to if you want to be competitive. There are great clean programs out there that aren't good. I love Coach K to death. I love Coach Calipari to death. I love Coach Self to death. If you think they follow every single rule within the NCAA guidelines, you are insane.
That's fair, but I still can't get over the part where they're at a university, a huge university,
yep,
as a Duke or Kansas, for free. For free.
Right. Well, to tie it back together, fellas, I mean, I know we got about 5 minutes left here on this segment, but it's one of those things where if they were to be paid, guys,
yes,
so if they were to be paid,
yes,
you think they would stay all 3 or 4 years?
I think they would stay more than they do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, of course they're going to chase. Some guys are going to go chase big money.
Right.
But Shaq put it beautifully. If you cannot balance a checkbook, you do not leave school. Because what are you going to do once you get all that money? What are you going to do? You don't know how to do it. Christian says, well, I'll pay for some dude to do it. How many financial investors and financial advisors and all those guys have just depleted money out
right.
of, just siphoned money and, embezzled and all from all these athletes?
It's all there.
You've seen it time and time again.
It's all there. If you can't manage your own money as an athlete, shouldn't be leaving school. Ben Simmons is going to probably be the number one overall pick. Why? He has no bust potential. He has all upside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't shoot the ball right now. You can teach a kid to shoot the ball. You can't teach. You can't. There's three H's you can't teach. Height, heart, and hustle. That's about it. The kid's got all three of them. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the kid passes the ball. The biggest comparison, the best comparison I've ever heard, he passes the ball like Magic Johnson. He's that.
Which is the best to be compared to.
He's that big point guard type.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to take a coach's poll in the NBA,
But you look at the motivations of a kid. If he can't get himself to go to class, I, as a GM, sure as heck am not drafting that kid. Absolutely not. I'd rather take a Wayne Selden Jr. from Kansas, who is, half the player, but is a grown man, knows his job, knows his role, and goes to class every single day. That's the guy I want on my team, because Bill Self runs a tight program. Okay, yeah, probably they mess around recruiting a little bit, but that's a clean, tight program. His kids go to class. His kids stay 4 years. Look at Perry Ellis. Perry Ellis is a finalist for the Wooden Award as a senior.
No, it is ridiculous, because we've been hearing Perry Ellis' name for 4 years, and it feels like it's been 40 because he stayed so long.
And isn't that ridiculous that's what college basketball has come to? Is that we feel like, geez, Perry Ellis, just leave. No, stay. There's a reason Kansas is good, okay? There's a reason Kansas is good. There's a reason Duke and Kentucky are so far back in the polls this year. One and done. It finally caught up to them.
Right.
Kansas has age, has veterans, and has consistency. They have Wayne Selden, Jr. They have Frank Mason, Jr. Perry Ellis, Sr. Devontae Freeman, sophomore. Timeout. Landon Lucas, freshman, 1.
Okay. Could it just be the part of the wave that is sports in general? Because all of it's going to go in a wave. POU basketball is going in a wave. You guys are at a high point right now, 18-7. Hopefully it stays, keep going. POU football might be at a low part. The wave might be starting again. You know, you said 2-7 earlier in the broadcast. That's a low spot in the wave. It's going to come back up, right? And that's just part of sports. So, finally, you know, this one and done may not be that big a deal. It may just be that the more experienced teams are at the top of their wave right now.
That may be true.
Well, it's one of those things, as a college coach.
But if you don't give the guys a chance to get experience, how would you ever know?
As a college coach, do you recruit one-and-dones, or do you recruit guys that could potentially be four-year guys?
Okay, Coach Calipari said this. He said, I've embraced the one-and-done as just
so is Coach K.
As a part of a basketball, so is Coach K.
Well, they have to. They don't have a choice.
Coach Bill Self says, I want to build a program.
And that's the difference. That's
because
good.
Coach Self says this, because names change, expectations don't.
Coach K, Duke was bad for a couple years there in the middle of the two, until he embraced one and done.
Yep.
Jahlil Okafor, Jabari Parker, all of those guys.
Yep. Kyrie Irving.
Brandon.
So what spot do you get put in? What tough deal. All right, this is the tough deal of the week, right?
There's a reason that we call this the tough deal.
This is a tough deal of the week, right? So what's the solution? Give me some proposed solution that is head and shoulders better than the other option, because if it's not, it's going to stay as a tough deal.
Here's the deal. You have to pay the players somehow, some way.
They're there for free, dude.
In the player. No, you're not paying them. That money, they never see that money.
Food is paid for. Books are paid for. Housing is paid
for.
Last
year, food was paid for. Shabazz Napier had to complain to the NCAA that he was going hungry during the Final Four because he couldn't find a meal. That got happened because that put the NCAA on blast. The NCAA is not looking to lose any more money. They're a nonprofit that makes billions and billions of dollars.
So is the NFL.
It doesn't have to tax write off.
So is the NFL.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't want to pay the athletes. You want to know why?
More money for them.
It's going to cost them money. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, are we going to pay the players? Probably not. But someone at some point has to understand the sacrifices student athletes make in order to play their sport and represent their school and do those things. Every athletic director, every provost, every university president should know what we're putting down, what we put on the floor. And the fact that even at PLU, we don't have a university-wide absence policy for student athletes is ridiculous. We're going out to represent the school to go, you know, further this name and further this, you know, to do those things, extracurricular activities. And sometimes us as athletes get penalized for missing class.
Right.
But we're doing it in the name of the university. I don't understand how that works. So either pay the players, okay, compensate the players evenly, or at least create an NCAA-wide policy that players are not excused from work, but something of that nature. So that they can travel on the road. They can be a student athlete. Maybe they'll stay longer. Because let me tell you this right now, I wouldn't stay.
I wouldn't either.
Would you stay, Kellen? But would you stay at the Division I level if you had an opportunity to go make big money? Not right now. No, you don't get compensated at the college level.
My answer to your question, and that's all great information, Drew, is I think basketball, college basketball, if they want to keep the game, if they want to make more money with, you know, broadcast deals and TV deals, I think those kind of guys need to stay at least 2 years. That's my thing.
At least stay
who's the running back for Stanford, the Heisman finalist? What was his name?
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey.
Great first name.
McCaffrey. Before we go to the break here, folks, Christian, that's awesome.
That's a great plug. That's a great plug.
What's his last name, sorry?
McCaffrey. It doesn't matter. His first name's Christian.
Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be on The Herd, which is one of my favorite sports radio shows, Colin Cowherd, and he couldn't make the show because he had to write a paper.
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what your point there, Drew, is we also have obligations to stay in school, to study, and to be a student athlete. So that's a great question. I don't think it's quite ready to pay athletes yet. I don't think we're quite at that point, but I think they need to stay at least 2 years.
Richard Sherman said it, and this is what I will end with. At his press conference at the Super Bowl, he was asked one question about putting in time as college athletes and like what he had to do. And he said, I challenge one regular student to put the time in that a student athlete puts in and get the grades that they do, and that's that. And he said, and I don't think one of them could do it because it's about the discipline it takes to do the job. And the fact that they're not compensated for that is sad. Yep. And that's Richard Sherman. That's a Seahawk legend.
Great point.
I'm still not sold on it, man. That's a tough deal. It's a tough deal. I'm not sold on it yet. I'm not sold on paying athletes. It's a tough deal.
There is a reason we call it tough deals.
Exactly. There's no right answer. All right. So we're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, NFL free agency started this week.
Yep.
Several players like Bruce Irvin, J.R. Sweezy, and Brandon Meeban have already found new homes. Not Seahawks anymore, guys.
Yeah, how do you give up the meat of your defense, D-tackle and linebacker? I just don't understand that.
Yeah, let's talk about it after the break. We're going to look at all of the Seahawk free agents as well as some other guys around the NFL. And I want you guys to tell me, you know, who's most important to keep, who's all right to let go. All right? This is Master Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Stay tuned.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this time.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, brought to you by 2.5 Athletes. We're going to spend some time discussing Seahawks free agency. Our buddy Chase called in last week and started talking about the moves the Seahawks should make. We want more people to call in and be like Chase and call into the show to join in the conversation. The number to call is 253-535-7332. Again, folks, for those of you that are scoring at home, that is 253-535-7332.
So I'm going to open up the question here. Have Brandon Meebane, Bruce Irvin, and J.R. Sweezy had the time of their NFL playing lives as Seahawks, now finding new homes? See what I did there with the bumper song?
That was good.
That's why we dominate online radio streaming. You guys understand that, right?
We're winning.
That is why.
That's why we're winning.
All right?
Yeah, I feel you.
I got a couple of texts during the break about the song, so good job, Christian.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the Seahawk free agents here. Well, actually, let's open it up. Drew, you got to leave in about 5-10 minutes here.
Yep.
Tell us what you think so far about Seahawk free agency.
Athlete. Yeah, because I'm a student athlete, mind you. Yeah. So, Seahawks free agency. You let your starting nose tackle and your starting middle linebacker go. Really? Last time I checked, that's the anchor of your defense. I know you have the Legion of Boom. Don't go throwing that out on me now. I'm a Niner fan. Trust me. Right. I know the Legion of Boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But as far as the rest of it goes, J.R. Sweezy's a big loss. I just don't get it. I don't get why you let those guys go. I mean, Marshawn Lynch hangs up his cleats on Instagram without even a negotiation. I mean, you don't even try to keep a guy like that. I just don't get it.
Well, we don't know if the Seahawks tried to keep him. We don't know that for sure.
I mean, it's just weird to me, to be really honest.
Yeah,
it is weird.
Hey, yeah.
Let me throw out a couple guys who are free agents right now, and you know,
Can I just go after everyone? Just like every one of them. Just me and Kellen can argue.
I got the Seahawks list right here. You guys tell me if this guy is an important keep. Russell Okung is a free agent.
Yes,
left tackle.
Important.
Drew, yeah, you say important.
He's your blind side.
So you don't want to have to go out and find a new guy. You want to just pay this man right now.
Pay that man now. In the words of LeBron James, get it done. Pay that man.
He has had his injury problems. You can't disregard that. But no question about it. Obviously, to have a great team, you got to have a good offensive line, and Russell Okung is the anchor.
Go ahead.
All right, let's find it. Now, here's one that might raise some eyebrows. He's 34 years old. He plays on the special teams. John Ryan is a free agent.
No question. And the reason why.
Pay the man.
As a football player, special teams is so underrated. It can change the game.
And you play in a league where the best defenses in the NFL, reside. The Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Niners.
Right.
And now the Rams are getting better.
Wait, did you say the Niners?
Yeah. The Niners have a great defense. We can't move the ball, but we can stop people.
You're from California, you sucker.
I understand that, but hey, let me tell you this right now. We have good defense. We just can't play offense.
I don't think you can say that with a straight face, bless your heart. But I think we need to keep John Ryan. I really do, Christian, because he – and you think about, like you just said, some of the guys that are, in our conference, we got – there's some great return men for the Rams and the 49ers. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, 49ers have good return guys. We really have good special teams. We can't play offense, but we can score on special teams.
Right, right. You almost want your special teams on the field more than your offense.
Phil Dawson's an all-pro kicker because he scores the most out of anybody on the team, all for the Niners.
That's totally
But Christian,
fair.
Let me say something real quick. I'm really glad, and hopefully you guys are on the same page with me here. I'm glad that we got Jermaine Kearse. I'm glad we got that deal done.
That deal needed to get done.
And honestly, when he was a Husky, I remember my dad, when I would go to some spring practices, I wasn't a big fan of him. He dropped some slants. I mean, he was known for dropping things over the middle.
Yep.
Then he got, I think, LASIK surgery or something with his eyes.
Yeah, now
and
see.
It changed him. It really changed him. And I think, no question about it, I'm kind of glad that he stood up for himself. He said, I don't want the hometown discount. I like that about him because that's a guy that's fighting for his job and he believes that he deserves more money. I think he does. I don't think he should be paid big time as a receiver.
No.
But he deserves
money.
I think Doug Baldwin really showed how good he can be as well this year. So I'm really glad that we got Kearse. And I think Pete Carroll said it best in a tweet the other day. He just said, Jermaine Kearse makes big plays in big games. You think about the Super Bowl, you think about the playoffs against Green Bay, when he had three or four drops that turned into interceptions, came back and made those plays. I think he was a nice little gift for us, Christian.
If we can break away from Seahawks free agency just for a moment.
Give us something. You've got to leave in 2 seconds. Give us something.
Well, no, I'll be here till 12:30. The breaking news from across the league was Mark Sanchez was just picked up by who, Kellen?
The Seahawks? Just kidding. It was the Denver Broncos.
So the Denver Broncos pick up Mark Sanchez. Kellen, very excited. Kellen, tell us why you're so excited before I rip you to pieces.
Well, I like what you did there. So this is my thing. Mark Sanchez, I don't want to say he's a prima donna. I don't want to go
that far. Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
He went to the University of Spoiled Children. You can call him a prima donna.
That's a great call, wow. USC.
You go ahead.
That's
Keep going.
Sweet. I've never heard that before. But you got to understand, he led the Jets a couple years ago to two straight AFC Championship games. Now, you got to be a decent quarterback to do that.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl, and he wouldn't even be called decent this year.
Brock Osweiler played seven games, though, so you can't say Peyton Manning got them the whole year. But to make your argument, Trent Dilfer, obviously the Ravens won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, and it's not like Trent, and he would say it too.
Trent Dilfer's not a premier quarterback.
Yeah. So, but I honestly think, and I'm not sure what the price is. I don't know if you know the price of what they got Mark Sanchez for.
I don't know.
But I think, because obviously we all were thinking, what, Kaepernick, RG3, Fitzpatrick, that we're going to go to Denver. Maybe Manziel with a long shot.
The only place Johnny Manziel's going is to rehab.
Like I told you during the break, that Johnny Manziel is keeping Johnny Manziel out of the league. Yep. And it's just too bad because he was so good in college,
so
but he just can't quite,
put
the
Heinekens
down.
Here's my thing about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is just another one in the long line of terrible USC quarterbacks. You want me to run down the list for you?
Go ahead, bud.
Okay. Matt Puntley, Barkley. No, Puntley was right the first time. Matt Puntley. You have Mark Sanchez. God awful. Just god awful.
I wouldn't go that far.
I love Tim Tebow. I love Tim Tebow. When Tim Tebow can compete for your job in New York after you win two divisions,
think about how much fan pressure pushed Tebow to
He's
start.
In New York. Who cares?
Exactly. It's New York.
Exactly. Who cares?
You just made the point.
Okay. So Mark Sanchez, terrible. Okay. Matt Leinart, not even in the league.
No.
Terrible.
Good broadcaster, but yeah, no.
Yeah, good broadcaster. Terrible. How about John David Booty?
Oh, did he make the league?
No, okay. Terrible.
Yep.
He's just another line of terrible.
Interesting last name, but
terrible,
yeah.
Terrible USC quarterbacks.
Right.
Then let's talk about we'll talk Colin Kaepernick for 2 seconds before I leave because I'm a Niner fan. Okay.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay. Kaepernick wants to go to the Browns. Oh. I'm happy we're rid of him. He's going to go shoot his career in the head. So I'm sorry. Has anybody seen the Halloween tombstones that are in Cleveland with all the different quarterbacks who've played their names that Bleacher Report does every
That's
year?
That's funny.
It's terrible. That is where, as a quarterback, your career goes to die in Cleveland.
Right.
Okay? To die.
They've had about 15 starting quarterbacks the last 8 years or
15?
Something like that.
15? Yeah. That's slowballing them.
It's like
20-ish. 20 plus. Like, I mean, names like Brady Quinn were quarterbacks.
I was
for the
a big
Browns.
Brady Quinn fan in college.
Ugh.
Jeff Samardzija.
See, this makes me, you know, feel I understand why you're a Mark Sanchez fan now. So that's terrible. RG3 being looked at by the Niners. Okay. I mean, I'm Chip Kelly. I understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you ruin my franchise, like you ruin the Eagles franchise, we're going to have an issue. But, okay, I understand that. Kaepernick wanting to go to the Browns. I read that and I laughed. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
But
who wants to go to Cleveland?
But hey, isn't that Kaepernick, though? That's just who he is.
No,
I mean,
who wants to go to Cleveland? Listen, Colin Cowherd said this on a show the other day. I loved it. Weather and environment breed success. Why do you think teams in L.A., in California, in Texas, and in Florida are so successful? Who wants to live in Cleveland if you're Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love? Their heart's not in Cleveland. No. Their championship's in Cleveland.
The only person
whose
heart's in Cleveland is LeBron.
LeBron, and they don't care. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you want to go to Cleveland? I'm happy we're rid of you. Blaine Gabbert was better than you are anyways.
But John Elway knows, Drew and Christian, that their defense is so good that because
they
don't
need a premier quarterback.
Hold on.
You're right.
Can I finish? I mean, you just took the words out of my mouth. Bless your heart. You're a basketball player. You stole it from me. But listen, I would say Mark Sanchez is a C-plus quarterback. I give him a C-plus.
Okay. I like Mark Sanchez, and I wouldn't diss him that bad. He's a B-minus quarterback.
You give him a B-minus?
He's a B-minus quarterback. He can drop back and throw the ball, which is all they need.
So, okay, I'll get C-plus, B-minus. I'll give him a 79.9.
He gets himself in trouble throwing interceptions.
That's fair because he tries to do too much. Yep. But you know what? I think John Elway, he'll bring him down. He'll give him a cup of Starbucks and just say, hey, listen, Mark, all we need you to do is hit Demaryius Thomas on an occasional slant.
Yep.
And just hand the ball off, let your defense win the game.
Yep.
And if Mark Sanchez can humble himself, then I think he'll be the perfect fit.
The problem was he was all in that USC deal, you know, where, you know, that wasn't the most humble of times.
Right.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Exactly, Drew. No, and you make a great point about those long lists of USC quarterbacks. I'm all with you with those. But I think Mark Sanchez, it's an interesting get. It'll be
I agree. It's very interesting.
Right. That's the word
it's
to say about it. Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows what they're going to do in the draft.
Right.
At this point, like, the NFL does a great job of keeping everyone on their toes. And then
teams
do a better job.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This was weird for us. So we'll see where this goes. But with that, you know, I'm glad I was able to talk free agency. You know, I don't like the Seahawks, so I'll let you guys talk that here again at the end. But I'm going to go to class.
Thanks,
you guys,
Drew,
for having me on.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Love talking with you guys. I think the tough deal was really a tough deal.
That's why we call it that segment,
you know, because we were still debating after the break.
I'm not sure who came up with it, but whoever did a great job.
Whoever, yeah. All right, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'll see you guys. I'm going to call in next week because I'll be gone, but
awesome.
I'll call in. We could talk brackets and March Madness.
Sounds great.
That sounds like a plan. See you around, buddy.
So, Christian, your take on the whole Brock Osweiler situation?
It's a good question, all right? My take on the Brock Osweiler situation
is
I have my ring. I'm going to go get paid.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, that's so fair.
I mean, it's the pinnacle in sports is winning a championship, all right? He's done it, and it wasn't like he just rode the pine all year. I mean, he did contribute to a great season by Denver.
Played 7 games, I think is what it was this year. Yeah.
Sure, probably had a winning record in those 7. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think it was 5-2, I think
is
what it was.
You'll take that, right?
Right.
Proved himself enough to make, what does he make in a year? $18 million a year?
Yeah, because it's 4 years, $72 million. I can't quite do the math.
That's 18.
$18 million.
$18 million a year. He did enough to make that kind of paycheck over the next 4 years.
Right.
And he's got a Super Bowl ring on his hands, so why not?
Well, like I said in the beginning, it's one of those things where I truly believe, Christian and Drew, you're kind of putting your sweatshirt on there so you can't quite get to the mic in time, but I really believe that Brock was hurt by the organization.
Mm.
I think because if I'm a quarterback and they're going to put in a guy who doesn't really have an arm left over me, and granted, against the Chargers, Brock was struggling. They needed kind of something different. They put Peyton in. They kept him in. Obviously, because, I mean, it was even in a debate before the Super Bowl started, who's going to play quarterback?
Right.
And they still went with Peyton Manning. And it's interesting because even Brock Osweiler's uncle tweeted stuff. His family was getting involved. They were so upset with who was starting. I really think that just like in a new relationship, if you lie to someone, you're going to dump them. And when someone new comes along, you're going to flock to them because you feel wanted. Hunter Hayes, shout out to that Wanted country song. I believe that he was wanted by the Texans, and he flocked to that. Do I think when he says the Texans are something special, that's a bunch of bull crap in my opinion. That's not quite – because I don't think it's special in Houston, Texas.
I think they're close.
I mean,
I think they're closer than you think
they are. They're close. Before I leave here, they're close. But, I mean, honestly, did you really expect Brock Osweiler to start over the Sheriff in his final season? He was in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
He was in a no-win situation. You had to know that they were going to give Peyton the ball.
Right,
you just
right.
had to know that.
That's fair.
I don't understand why Brock doesn't understand that.
I think that's the thing. I think he's starting to catch Mark Sanchez-itis, and he got a little self-involved. After
yeah, and that's and a great point, Drew, before you leave there. And I really think that, you know, for Brock's sake, I don't know if he really deserves that money because he only played 7 games. He went to Arizona State, you know, in the Pac-12 there, Christian, and I think he's 6'8". He's got a lot of potential, but the Texans are also making – I mean, what if he's a bust? The Houston Texans are going to look like idiots.
Well, here's the thing. He's one of the safest free agents to go out and get because he has spent 4 years learning behind Peyton Manning.
Right.
Like I said, I don't even think this was a matter of feelings. I really don't, because he's got a Super Bowl ring from that team, and now he went out and got paid. Absolutely. Okay. Isn't it always all money?
Well, I would say
to a certain extent.
I say 70% money, 30% feelings.
Okay,
I think that's fair.
That's fair.
I do think he was hurt.
All right.
Because I asked you that question, I'll ask you it again. What if he's paid $45 million by both teams for 3 years? Where does he go?
That's a great question.
Because if he chooses Houston, it definitely proves that he was just done with Denver. But you know what's interesting? Colin Cowherd said this a couple days ago. He wasn't returning any phone calls from Elway, wasn't returning any phone calls from Von Miller. So I mean, in my opinion, kind of Christian, that kind of proves my point to say, you know what, he was just done with Denver. He wanted to look at a new team. He wanted that money. He thinks he deserves it. His family's – and again, you're going to listen to your family, right? I will listen to my family.
That's true.
All of his family saying, hey, you deserve money. Denver kind of dumped you. Oh, now they want you back. You know, and in my opinion, Brock said, you know, the heck with you guys. I'm going to go to a different team.
No, all that stuff is fair. All that stuff is fair. But I think that, like I said, I think Houston is Houston's close.
Yeah.
They have the defense. They have, you know, J.J. Watt, who is promoted like none other by the NFL because
he should
be. They
got Robinson, that really good receiver.
They got a good receiver. They got Brian Cushing on defense, the linebacker. They got Jadeveon Clowney on the other side of J.J. Watt.
Yeah, so I guess they do have something kind of going there. But when Brock said that, though, in the interview, it was just like, you know what, Brock? No, you wanted that money, and you were hurt by Denver. So But now you do make some good points. They do got some up-and-coming guys.
It's all fair. They just signed Lamar Miller away from Miami.
Yeah, that's a huge sign. Like, that is huge.
Rather than being, oh, he's just behind Peyton Manning. Because if he would have stayed in Denver, he would have always been just behind Peyton Manning. He's the guy that precedes Peyton Manning.
Yeah. And
now he can go be his own guy over in Houston.
And
there's so many more motivators.
Right. And it's one of those things, just kind of like when Dwight Howard went to the Lakers, to kind of talk a little bit of basketball, he didn't really enjoy it because there was so much pressure because think of the centers they've had. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq. There was so much pressure on him, and he didn't quite want – because next year they would have said, oh, you know, let's say Brock stays in Denver. They would have said, oh, gosh, I wish Peyton would have come back. You know what I mean? So Brock had that pressure, and that's a great point, Christian. I didn't even think of that, to say, you know what, I want to go to Texas. I want to have a new GM, a new team, you know, and leave Denver behind me, kind of put that in the rearview mirror and say I want to start new. That's a great point.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, I could see why he went to Houston. I think that it all makes sense. Is there any, you know, so – Brock Osweiler. We'll see if that decision pans out.
It'll be so interesting as well.
Kellen, you got any more free agent moves that you want to talk about? What's on your mind?
You know, I think for me, NFL-wise, it'll be interesting, and I'm so sorry to bring this up because you're probably going to be sick of me for saying this, but
no, bring it on.
What's going to happen to Manziel? Because honestly, and it's one of those things where, you know, granted, I am not a big fan of his off-field antics. I will never support the drinking. I'll never support the partying because he's putting himself before the team.
Right.
But he showed some promise. I mean, when he came to Seattle, you know, Christian, I watched that whole game. I had to work, so I DVR'd the game, and he didn't play bad. And it's one of those things where, again, you know, you become who you hang around with. I mean, my parents always tell me that.
Sure.
And obviously, he surrounded himself with the total opposite people who you want to surround yourself with. But also, look at who he was playing with. I think if you put Manziel on a team with Gronk, if you put Manziel on a team with a guy like, you know, if you put Manziel on, you know, for the matter of fact, I mean, who's got some great receivers? Obviously, you got to look at, you know, the Atlanta Falcons with Julio Jones, guys like that who have some solid receivers. Because honestly, he was not working with a lot in Cleveland. It was almost destined for him to fail. And it's one of those things too. When you're in Cleveland, what else do you have to do? But if I'm Jerry Jones in Dallas, you bring Manziel, and it's kind of like the Tebow thing. Mm-hmm. You bring Manziel onto your team, there's going to be so much attention off the field. So many fans are going to want him to start over Tony Romo, which would be blasphemy anyway. But it's just like he's one of those things where Manziel's brought this on himself, kind of like Cam Newton.
Sure.
He's brought all this attention on himself. But I really, in my opinion, I don't think he'll be on an NFL team this year. And I saw a tweet earlier. It sounds like the Browns are going to cut him today.
I think they already have.
And they want his – I mean, basically, they want his money. They wanted to see if they could trade him, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's that could be a tough deal in and of itself.
That could have been the whole segment with the tough deal there, Christian, as well.
Part of me wanted Johnny Manziel to be, you know, that guy that could have all of his fun or, you know, not – before I realized it was so damaging, I thought that he was just messing around having a bunch of fun. I wanted him to be able to win during the weekdays when he was having all his fun and then win on Sundays and be able to pull both off. But it's shown that – his drinking may be more damaging than him just having a fun night with his buddies or whatever.
I mean, I don't think we really knew how serious it was. I mean, like I said, I would never go on the air and call him an alcoholic like Skip Bayless did for ESPN First Take because I'm not a doctor, so I would never go that far.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
No. But it's one of those things where it's just like I think this week when he realizes that he's cut and nobody's calling his phone except people that want to party, but he wants those calls from the GMs from the NFL, he's going to wake up and say, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, his dad said the other day, He'll be lucky if he lives to see 25. That's his father.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's the guy that raised him, Christian.
That's crazy. It's a tough deal. I do get worn out from, you know, that seems like it's the only guy ESPN wants to talk about. And it gets tiresome because he's just the backup quarterback.
And that's why I kind of relate it to the Tebow thing. He brings so much media attention. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just want guys in the NFL, like the Kansas City Chiefs, they got no drama. Andy Reid, he doesn't want any drama. Alex Smith, I think, is a B quarterback, but there's no drama on that team. Granted, did they overachieve this year? Yes. And that's kind of the organization you want. You want a team that it's not in the media too much, just going about their business. You can kind of relate them to the Portland Trailblazers in the NBA, that they just go about their business. They're not a big team market, but they win games and they make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's so funny that you kind of compare, I guess, the Johnny Manziel hype to the Tim Tebow hype, because the hype itself is so much different.
Right.
Tebow comes in with his religion, his faith,
and
people are like, okay, get that out of my face. And
total opposite.
Johnny Manziel comes in with a drinking problem, and people are like, all right, get that out of my face. Like, where do our athletes sit?
Exactly.
Where's the right place to be?
Well, I mean, obviously,
neutral on everything.
What was that?
Neutral on everything?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think, you know, and as a Christian myself, Christian, I'm not afraid to say that on the air at all. I think Russell Wilson does a great job because Russell Wilson, he doesn't necessarily slam it in your face. You know, he'll say, go Hawks, God bless, stuff like that. But he, in my opinion, and just like the Yankees wanted to, you know what I mean? They want their athletes to be like Russell Wilson, not like Cam Newton. I want my athletes to be like this, just consistent with the media. And that way it's boring to the media. That way the media will almost leave you alone in a way. You
right.
know what I mean?
They would.
What's your take on Bruce Irving for the Oakland Raiders?
It's kind of the same situation as Brock Osweiler. He's got a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Go get your paycheck.
What's his money?
Right?
Right.
I mean, that would be the motivation to me. I would like getting out of this weather, right?
Yeah.
It's rainy. It's miserable
Oakland,
here all the time.
Kind of like the Texans. They're up and coming. There's something special
going on
there.
They're close.
Carr
right?
at quarterback, and obviously he has some great receivers there in Crabtree.
Maybe he's trying to go there and prove himself. Maybe I'm the missing link here, and now all of a sudden the Raiders are in the playoffs.
Right.
Just like Brock Osweiler could be going to Houston.
And I never want to say this, you know, because I don't want to say athletes necessarily think this way, but I really believe some athletes will leave organizations to prove how valuable they were. Because maybe Bruce Irving thinks, you know what, I'm not really wanted here in Seattle. I'm not, you know, I don't give enough credit, so I'm going to leave, and we're going to see how bad they were. In my opinion, that's kind of what Cam Chancellor did. The first two games, I think, and like I said, I don't think he necessarily wanted the Hawks to lose those games, but I think he wanted to show that they are not the same team without him.
He definitely wanted them to be worse.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to say, yeah, I wanted them to lose, but he wants them to be worse
right.
to prove, to maybe get himself an extra bump in his paycheck.
And I think he did that.
Which
I really
didn't happen. He didn't get paid.
If they would have been 2-0, it would have been interesting to see would he have gotten that paycheck.
Been a very different dynamic. Do you want to talk any more Seahawk free agency?
Let's see here.
Is there any other people on this list? Let's pull this list back up.
Like we talked about about 10 minutes ago, John Ryan obviously would be a huge, huge guy to get. And he's kind of underrated because he is on the special teams. Let's see. We got Chase Kaufman. He's a tight end. Like I said, we got good tight ends. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Jimmy Graham, Christian.
Yeah,
can come back healthy.
Straight up, if you look at the numbers, they were much better without Jimmy Graham. So it's a weird dynamic.
Now, one guy I would bring back, and it's so funny because I think this year was one of the first years that it really proved this theory, is that Tavares Jackson. I mean, you need a solid backup quarterback in this league.
Are you going to spend as much money on Tavares Jackson as you would for maybe another quarterback that maybe isn't as good? Are you willing to spend the money on Tavares Jackson?
I think I am, because you look at it, Dallas Cowboys, for example. Romo gets hurt. They go through quarterbacks.
Season's over.
Kellen Clemens. I mean, who else did they have? They had Kellen Clemens.
I can't remember right now.
Who else? I mean, they was unbelievable.
Matt Castle was there for
Matt Castle was the other guy there.
Yeah. Brandon Whedon was
there. Whedon. That's right. That's there the other name I was forgetting. And they – that's why you need a solid backup quarterback in this league, because in my opinion, there's one guy that is so valuable to the Seahawks, and I think it's pretty obvious who it is. But if Russell Wilson goes down, the Seahawks will not even be in my – they'll be competitive. But obviously, Russell Wilson is the glue to that team. He goes down, it's going to be a tough deal, because in my opinion, Tavares Jackson's not going to find Doug Baldwin like, you know, Russell can. He's not going to find Kurse like, you know, Russell Wilson can. But that's why I think you got to pay Tavares. Tavares has been in the system for a while. Mm-hmm. He started in Minnesota, so he has that starting experience. And I think, I mean, you know, you see him, I think he's even one of the captains. He goes out on the coin flip. So in my opinion, you got to pay Tavares, because let's say Russell goes down, you got to have somebody that can step in and win some ball games for you.
That's money you take away from Russell Okung, though.
That's a good point as well. That's why it's so hard in the NFL.
All right, quick, yes or no. Ricardo Lockett.
Yes, I would keep Lockett, and hopefully he can come back healthy.
Fred Jackson.
Yeah, you got to keep Fred as well.
That's a no for me.
No for you. Okay.
35 years old, you can find another guy. Christine Michael, 25 years old, running back. Yes, no.
I go no. He's got fumble problems.
Fumble problems? Well, I'd keep him before I keep Fred Jackson.
So we're opposite on those two.
Anthony McCoy, tight end.
Nope.
Who else is on here? Will Tukuafu, fullback, 32 years old.
Yes, yes. Very, very, very good leadership in the locker room.
All right, that sounds good. That's a lot of NFL free agency.
That was a lot of NFL free agency there.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Last week, we talked about the Mariners starting pitching. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about the back end. We're going to talk about the bullpen. We're going to see, you know, who's new on the bullpen, who's going to stand out, and who's going to hopefully do well for the M's this upcoming season. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. Stay tuned.
Going to open up the coverage to some Mariners baseball. Christian, you're up, bud.
All right, let me get resituated here quick. Working on some laptop, some difficulties, not getting any internet in here.
It's been a crazy show, folks.
Yeah,
if we had a live stream,
we've had a lot of stuff fall apart. A
couple mics break, a couple laptops go down.
We're dealing with it.
We got to compete, though.
We definitely do. This is our game day. All right, last week we talked about the starting rotation. Who was mostly, you know, intact. General manager Jerry DePoto, he didn't really break those guys up that much. You know, he found one new guy that's going to be in the rotation, all that stuff. 2 years ago, the Mariners bullpen was the best in baseball, hands down. It would statistically, all of it was the best. You know, but all of the moves Jerry DePoto has made, there's only one soul that remains from that team, and that's Charlie Fulbrush. You know, Kellen, I'll ask you, you know, tell me how it is when a big senior class leaves POU football and now all of a sudden we got to get used to new players and new guys being in new spots and this, that, and the other. Tell me what it's like to go through that kind of a transition.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. You know, we went through that this year. You know, last year we lost 18 seniors, and 17 of those 18 seniors started for us. And so you talk about coming into this for this past year so young, so, you know, inexperienced, and just, you know, a lot of butterflies, because and the thing is we were so young this past year, and so right. These guys that are playing are, some of them are freshmen, some of them are sophomores and juniors that have been behind guys but really haven't seen the field much, because it wasn't like we had a great record a couple of years ago, but we weren't blowing teams out where they could get a bunch of on-field experience. And so this past year, you know, like I said on the air, we were 2-7. We haven't been 2-7 since 1944. And so it's one of those
long while.
Oh, it is. And it's one of those things where we just had to come together and say, you know what, we were 2-7 this year. A lot of guys think we should have been, you know, 5-4 and 6-3 because we were just a few plays away.
Right.
And obviously you went to basically every home game, and the reason why is because we were so young. Not to necessarily have excuses on why we were the way we were this season, but it's like, if we're a veteran group, we've been there before. So this upcoming season, which I'm so excited to be a part of, Christian, for my senior campaign, I think we're going to be head and shoulders above where we were last year, and it'll be exciting.
Right. But talk about kind of like the getting to know people. Say you have a great friend who's a senior, a great teammate, and now he's gone, and now you got to make a new friend. Like, what is that like?
Well, and that's what happens every year. Guys come and go. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where in baseball, you're with, you know, to compare it to the Mariners, you know, Christian, you're with them so much throughout the year: spring training, batting practice, game days, you know, traveling, you know. And in my opinion, it's so funny when the camera pans to the dugouts, they're not really talking to each other. So it'd be so interesting to find out how many of you guys actually like your teammates, how many of you guys despise them, how many of you guys talk because you have to, you're forced to, you're in the same room, you share this, you know, you share the same hotel room. It'd be interesting to find out how much they really like each other. But, you know, with the PLU football team, I mean, obviously we all love each other. We're emol, every man a loot, you know, one for all, one for each other. So it's one of those things where it's all about your coaching philosophy has a lot to do with do you like each other, do you not like each other. But in baseball, like, it's just so long, sometimes you get sick of guys.
Yeah, it's there's a very real possibility of just getting tired of the way that guy's acting. Or, you
absolutely
know? It is what it is.
And like you said, your tough deal, we'll kind of talk a little bit about that next week, is baseball. I'm not going to give it away too much, but that's exactly what your tough deal will be about.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, of recent years, the bullpen has become one of the biggest factors in baseball. I mean, you got to have a good bullpen to, you know, be successful. You got to keep games close, and you got to shut games down if you're in the lead, right? I have a theory, somewhat, of, you know, ways that you can make a decent group of bullpen guys better.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is so situation-oriented. Yeah. You have to put those decent bullpen arms in good situations.
Right.
You have to. Your starting pitchers have to give you 6 to 7 innings.
That's a great point.
They just have to. If they're not...
And Felix can. We know he can.
There's one guy that can. There's other guys that might be hurt. I mean, right. It all has to just... gel and work. Kellen, let me ask you this. Which would you rather have to convert? A 3rd and 4, 3rd down and 4 yards to go, or 3rd and 11? And don't give me any, don't go, oh, I love the challenge, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Straight up, what do you want to convert?
Oh, in a heartbeat, 3rd and 4.
Absolutely. So if the Mariners starting pitching, you know, they go out and give us 4 innings and get shelled for 5 runs. Now we got to make our bullpen pitch for way longer than they need.
We need them to overachieve, exactly.
Right. You just got to give me those 6 innings. That's right. It. That's all they got to give.
I mean, it's easier said than done.
Absolutely. But I don't think that it gets enough credit. Like, people last year, the bullpen was so bad, and it was bad, but right, I don't think they were put in situations to succeed.
Exactly.
So you can't look at it at, oh, the bullpen was terrible. Well, if that bullpen pitcher gets to come in a spot where he's going to succeed, you're not talking about how bad he is.
Right. And granted, I think pitchers know when you become a pitcher, especially if you're a relief guy, when you come in, sometimes you're going to come in for a reason because the starter, the opener, the, you know, this opening pitcher just is blowing the game. So you have to have that mental discipline to understand that you're going to come into the game probably down. You know, sometimes you come in and the guy is tired, you know, you're up by 2, which is once in a great while, but that's why pitchers are there's a lot of dime a dozen guys, because mentally they're just, oh, we're down by 3 and you know, I'm not having a great year anyway. This is going to be brutal. This is going to be how the whole year is.
Yeah,
so
you got it. You like we were talking about earlier, we got to compete in here with the microphones falling down. Well,
and that's what
we
talked about.
You
got
to compete to keep the game
deal.
Close.
Right.
If you're down by 3, you better keep it at 3.
Right.
You
and that's
go
why
out there it, and make it go to 5.
To compare it to softball, Marissa
and...
Miller pitching 13 innings. I mean, I can't even imagine her mental aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I want to highlight a couple guys here that were brought in to be bullpen guys, and hopefully we'll have good years here as a Mariner. Steve Cishek was brought in by trade. He's 29 years old. He's had 6 years in Major League Baseball. Through his career, he's had a 2.82 ERA, which isn't bad at all. He has 95 career saves. He's brought in to be the closer. You know, you asked last week about pitchers who throw sidearm. This is a guy who throws sidearm.
Right, something
throws
different.
A lot of sinkers, a lot of balls that break down, which in turn creates ground balls.
Right.
And when you're in there just to get 3 outs, you'll take 3 ground balls.
Exactly. I would hope so, yeah.
He'll absolutely take 3 ground balls. And just go over some projections real quick because we're running out of time. In 2016, he's projected, a baseball reference has him projected as posting a 3.51 ERA with a 3-win, 5-loss record and only 13 saves with 22 walks and 58 strikeouts. 13 saves is your closer. He's brought in to be the closer. That's I lost my job in like May. That really isn't that great.
You play, what, 132 games?
162 games.
162 games, you got 13 saves.
You're saving 13 games. At me. It,
not a
you
very
probably
good
got ousted at some point. So let's hope that those projections are wrong. Because
well, they're just projections, but no question about
it. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's hope they're wrong. Let's hope that Steve Cishek can pitch like, you know, his 2.82 ERA is posted. He has 95 saves in his life, so he knows how to get it done. Let's hope that he can continue to do that.
Right.
Joaquin Benoit is another guy that was brought in by trade. He's 38 years old, and in the bullpen, age doesn't matter as much. If you could still get it in there for an inning, if you could still throw that 98-mile-an-hour fastball, perfect.
Jamie Moyer pitched until he was, what, 40?
Yeah, the other way. He pitched
until
he was so old just because he threw strikes. He confused guys, right? 14 seasons, Benoit has a 3.84 earned run average, which is kind of high. He's going to be a late inning guy. He has a reputation for being an extremely slow worker. Like we talked about earlier with softball, it's painful when people work slow in baseball just because you're adding time. It's a three-hour game as is. You add time to it. So his innings for, you know, our buddy at the Seattle Times, Ryan Divish, and Bob Dutton and guys at the Tacoma News Tribune, are going to be tough on him, but they'll have to compete. His 2016 projections by Baseball Reference say that he's going to post a 3.0 ERA. He's going to have a 4-win and a 4-loss record, 21 walks, 60 strikeouts, and 63 innings of work. I would take that.
Oh, absolutely.
Sound like good numbers for you, Kellen?
They do. I would take them in a heartbeat as well.
So let's hope that Joaquin Benoit, you know, we don't want Steve Cishek to pitch to his Baseball Reference numbers, projections.
But
we do want Joaquin Benoit to pitch to his projections from Baseball Reference. The last guy I want to talk about, his name is Tony Zick. Zick is 25 years old. He's been in the Mariners organization. He spent 5 years in the minor leagues. All right, so there's no projection on Tony Zick yet. We can't, whoever does the number crunching and all that stuff at Baseball Reference, they can't tell me what Tony Zick is going to, you know, pitch like this year or what they think he is going to be like.
Which will be good because it'll put less stress on us.
Yeah. We don't have to sit here and guess. Zick throws the ball 95 to 98 miles an hour. So you'll take that out of your bullpen. Jerry DePoto, the general manager, called his slider wiffle ball quality, which means it does absolutely ridiculous things. So that should be extremely fun to watch. Zick posted a 2.45 ERA in 18 innings with 24 strikeouts last September. So there's definitely promise there.
Yeah.
You know, if Cishek does fall off, like his projections are proof, you know, they say that he might, you could look at Tony Zick being the back end of your bullpen guy. He could be the closer with that kind of stuff. If truly he has a wiffle ball slider, that's a great guy to bring in to close your game out.
You just hope that translates to the field. Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, you know, you have Charlie Frobisher in your bullpen still. You got some long relief guys like Vidal Nuño that could be up in the bullpen. You have, you know, a bunch of other guys who the bullpen is such an unpredictable spot in baseball. You know, they have to be put in the right situations. And if the team can put the bullpen guys in the right situations, it should be a fun year to watch Mariner baseball.
And to compare it to another sport there, Christian, real quick, it's a lot like special teams. It's bullpen is underrated, but you need them in the right situations.
It's a mentality even.
Exactly.
Right? You got your guy, your flyer guys, you know, they maybe a few screws loose, you'd consider them, right? They just fly down the field and tackle people.
On the special teams and in the bullpen, you want those guys to be the kind of guys that you want in your foxhole. Great stuff there, Christian. Another meat sandwich packed with baseball there, information by Christian Bond. Folks, we're just about done with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Today has been so much fun, folks. I am Kellen Westring.
And I am Christian Bond. Tune in to the show next week from Friday from 11 to 1 p.m.
New time.
A little
time,
bit of
folks.
A time change. Yep, this week was our first 11 to 1 show. Probably for the rest of the semester, we're going to be 11 to 1 just so Drew Artisone could be here because, you know, we always all got to go to class. This has been Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. We are out of here. See ya.